I'm sure people on the are listening to this podcast going, what are you doing? Why are you talking?
You're talking to your dad about sex.
Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Carly Duke, and today I'm here with a special guest, because not only is he an expert in the realm of teenagers and raising teenagers, because he's raised three, but he's also my dad. So, Dad, introduce yourself.
Well, Carly, it's great to be with you today. I'm Chris Hatchett. I'm Carly's dad, as she's just said, but I am the campus minister at the South Lake campus of the Hills Church currently, but I've been involved in youth ministry for most of my adult life. Was the youth minister at the Hills Church for over 15 years, and 5 years before that at another church, but have also been involved with actually the beginnings of teen life that started through my youth ministry at the Hills. And we've got a lot of pride in seeing what you guys are doing through teen life.
Yeah, the OG of teen life. And obviously, I think a lot of my dad, and we have a really special relationship that we'll get to a little bit in this podcast. But when I was trying to come up with guests while Chris is gone, I was like, I really want to talk to you about several things that I think me and Chris can't even hit on yet. And the first one is preparing your kids to leave home, because obviously my kids are little and Chris's kids are still in elementary. They're getting into that middle school phase, but we have not launched a child into adulthood yet like you have. And I think that's so important for our audience to hear of how do we parent and support teenagers now, knowing they're going to leave home.
Well, as you're asking me these questions, if anybody knows the mistakes we made, it's you and your brother. So I humbly will be glad to talk about this with you. But Carly, I think as I think about how you get students ready to leave your home, it starts when they're the age of Sawyer and Janie, when they're little, because you're going to start pouring into relationship when your kids are young, because you're going to be withdrawing from that relationship as they become teenagers.
Right.
I always say you're making deposits relationally into an account when they're little, that whenever they become teenagers, in the best of scenarios and relationships, there's going to be withdrawals that come from that. You can remember the times you rolled your eyes at me, or there's times of teenage rebellion or disobedience. And so you don't start that relationship at that point. It has to start much younger. So you start younger so that then whenever they're getting ready to leave for college, you have those things to fall back on.
Yeah. So talking about, let's start though first with our seniors. So if we have, I know they're not graduating yet, but that's why I want to do this podcast now, because you still have time. There's still time before they even either leave to go to college or go into their working environment, whatever that looks like for them. But for the senior year, how can we prepare seniors before they leave?
Well, I think if you remember as a senior, one of the things that you start seeing, why I start with relational collateral, right, is that what you start seeing is seniors want more and more freedom. And about this time, as a parent of a senior, you're starting to think, man, I've got 6 months left, and I've still got all these things I want to teach them. And so you have this pushing away by the students while parents are trying to hold on tighter than ever. And so you have this tension that's going on. And so you have to realize that. But we always tell parents that they need to start treating their seniors. Our goal is that by your senior year, it's almost like you're leading your own life just under our roof. And so with you and your brothers, we wanted to be parenting in such a way that by your senior year, you were trying to be more self-sufficient. You were self-disciplined. So with Caleb, for example, he didn't go to class until 11 o'clock his senior year.
Lucky.
Well, we left for work at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock.
Right.
He had to get himself up. And we had parents go, man, how do you know he's getting to school? How can he do that? Well, because he had been getting himself up since fifth grade or sixth grade. So we started that, and then we start loosening that to where your own self-discipline and self-sufficiency is our goal as parents. And so our goal was that by the time you were a senior, you were receiving your own finances, you were managing budget, you were able to set your own curfew within reason. Mm-hmm. And what that looked like for us was we would just tell you, let us know where you're going to be.
Right.
Let us know your plan. Because the fact of the matter was, as your senior year, just in a few months, you were going to be on your own and we weren't going to know what you were doing in Abilene. So our desire was to watch you fail under our roof, let you have your first heartbreak under our roof, because those things were going to happen, but we wanted it to be while you were close to us. So what we hear more and more from students is parents that can trust and release as they're in their senior year means more to them than anything else.
I think we were talking about the other day, this memory that we both have of, I think I was a senior in high school and was talking to a boy that y'all had questions about. And I still vividly remember looking at you and saying, I need you to trust me.
Oh, you're being nice. You played dirty that day. Because it was you and I up late one night talking, and I didn't like the guy, and was telling you all the reasons I didn't trust him. And in your with your big brown eyes, with tears in them, you looked at me and you said, but Daddy, if you trusted me, it wouldn't matter. And I had to make the decision right then. You're right. I've got to trust you, because in a few short months, I'm not going to be there watching over your shoulder anyway.
Right. And I think that's what's so difficult as a parent now, thinking of, you're right, you're handing over that control. But if you've done the work to raise them right from the beginning, then they should be ready to launch. And that's that thought of, there's going to be a day when Sawyer leaves our house and it's never going to be the same again. But I also need to be thinking about that now, down, as you said, right now, down, not down the line, as their seniors right before they leave. And so kind of let's, I know you touched on it, but before their senior year, what are some other things that we can do? Because as you said, we don't want to just pack everything into the last 6 months and feel like we're holding on so tight that then they're overwhelmed.
Well, you're wise to be thinking about Sawyer leaving. When your mom and I teach about parenting, we always talk about starting with the end in mind. Your kids are going to leave you. So who do you want them to be when they leave you, and parent backwards from there? But specifically to your question about maybe you have a high school student, how are you getting them ready? Just little things like managing finances. You know, when you turn 16, we got you a debit card in your checking account, and we started just direct depositing your allowance into your account. And you knew that was all you were getting. We settled on a monthly fee, and that was going to be that way, and that was that way through college. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we raised it some in college, and with your brothers, there were different things that you would see. You know, with Colby, we knew when he had reached the end of his gas money, because he'd ask you or his mom if he could ride to school with you. And Caleb, quite often, we watched his bank account get under $5, but he managed. And yep. So... you know, we weren't those parents that you just would walk back up to and, well, I spent all of this. Can you give me more money? No, we wanted you to start getting that responsibility before you were on your own.
I still remember, because I was terrified. One time in high school, I went to a nail salon and tried to pay for it and didn't have enough money in my bank account. And I remember having to call and be like, I know, but I need help. I can't just leave and not pay for this. But I never did that again. Like, I think that was one of those lessons that you're right. I had to learn at home, and I learned with a backstop. But in college, I was watching my money because I knew I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to have to call home. I need to get a job because I don't want to, not that y'all wouldn't help me if I got in trouble, but I wanted to show I can do this on my own. And I don't always need to be bailed out.
And I know in every family, it's going to look different of what you may provide for your kids. You know, we try to do all your basics and paid for your car and things like that. But we wanted you to have responsibility along the way. And as you say, to do it with a backstop, because hopefully when you needed money that day, we didn't say, no, sorry, you're on your own.
Right.
But hopefully that helped raise you in a way that now with you and your family, you're managing money in a way that brings honor in that the way you manage it.
I'd love for you to touch on just a little bit the difference in kids, though. You've kind of mentioned that, but I feel like me and my brothers, Colby and Caleb, were also parented differently. Y'all didn't use the same exact formula with each one of us because we were different kids.
And I think it is important to realize the differences in your kids. You and Colby were 2.5 years apart. Caleb came along 5 years later. Y'all always accuse us of being more lenient with him. We just said
he was the baby.
It was one of two things. We either learned what not to sweat, or we were just too old and tired by that time to care anymore. But we do. You have to parent differently. And what I may say worked for y'all isn't going to work for some other parents because their kids are different too. When we talk about giving your kids more and more freedom, we're teaching a class on this right now. I had a parent say, if I let my kid set his own curfew, he's not coming in till 10 or 11 in the morning. Mm. We can't give him that much freedom because he hasn't proven trustworthy. Mm. So with your kids, what may be the model for you as the oldest, most responsible, maybe we had to do differently with Colby or Caleb because they were different kids.
Right.
And so just adjust to your kids.
Mm-hmm. We kind of came up with a little bit of a list of some things that you could be slowly teaching them to give responsibility. So you mentioned managing money. Another one that we talked about is the car stuff, changing a tire, your oil, tire rotations.
Well, it's things that like that, that when your kids get to college, if they don't rotate their tires, and I did that for y'all when you were at home, if you're not doing that in college, the tires are going to go out, and who's going to end up paying for that?
You.
I was. And so I needed you to be responsible with getting your oil changed. I think I would give you the money to do it, but you had to go get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You needed, when you do that, to go get your tires rotated. I had great pride in teaching you how to change a flat tire before you left, because I think there was an instance where some of your friends, maybe your guy friends, had a flat tire and you were the only one that knew how to change it.
Yep.
You know, and so you want your kids, again, to be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And as parents, we want you to want us. Mm-hmm. You know, and I told you this the other day, I still want to be your daddy. But you needed me to come over and work on a faucet at your house. And I'm replacing this faucet at your house. And I told your mom, in the midst of doing that, I realized you didn't really need me to do it anyway. You're completely capable to do it. But it's still, as a dad, I want to do those things. Mm-hmm. But I need to be sure I'm not doing them for me and for my ego at the cost of you learning how to be self-sufficient and responsible.
Right. Because even things like laundry, picking up after yourself, if they're going to college and living with a roommate, start working on those things of like, hey, you want to be a good roommate and you don't want to just...
Which we probably failed on with y'all's roommates are listening to that and going, well, the hatchets blew it on that one.
No.
But you're exactly right. I had a college student that I interviewed for this class that said, the chores my parents had me do taught me to be a good roommate. Mm. And so it made me somebody that my roommate was blessed to have as their roommate because I did my own dishes. I picked up after myself. And that makes a difference for your kids.
Yeah, it does. So this idea that you want your kids to leave capable and you want them to leave feeling like I have the tools. It's easy to do things for them when they're in high school, but then when they leave and feel like they're failing because they don't know what you're doing, that's a disservice to your kids.
And you end up in a parent role that you don't want to be in anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, because the bottom line is it's painful when we think about y'all leaving. When you left, I had friends tell me I needed therapy. And I probably did. But the fact of the matter is, I didn't want you staying at home either.
Right.
You going and leaving and going to college was exactly what we had raised you for. Mm-hmm. And parents just need to remember that. That's their task. Your kids are going to leave. Get them ready to leave in a way that's successful.
Okay, for the trend this week, we're doing something a little different because this isn't necessarily a trend as in it's only happening right now. But as we look forward to Valentine's Day just in a couple of weeks, I wanted to do a couple of episodes that revolve around this idea of teenagers and what that means. Love. But what comes with that often is sex. And so I'm sure people are listening to this podcast going, what are you doing? Why are you talking?
You're talking to your dad about sex.
And so what I really want to talk about, though, is how we have the sex talk well with our teenagers. So we're not necessarily talking details of sex in this episode, please. Let's not go into that. But I do want to talk about, to start, what are some ages that we should start having the sex talk?
Again, I'm going to go back to your kids are 2 and 4. Hmm. That relationship and conversation starts now. There's different markers at all ages that you need to be thinking about. So when they're little and they're exploring their body, you can react to that in such a way that makes it shameful or dirty.
Right.
So even then, you're imprinting how they're going to talk to you later. Mm. And so our goal is always to have an open conversation with you guys at whatever age. So as we're talking about teenagers, if you're just broaching the subject of sex with them, you've waited too late. Mm. But now, it's never too late to start doing the right thing. But when I look back, my sex talk with my mom, when I went on my first date, my dad didn't talk to me at all. My mom said, "No, you'll be a gentleman, right?" And that was it. And I just vowed with y'all it wasn't going to be that way.
Right.
And so all along the way, you know, with your brothers, I had more specific talks, mm-hmm. some that they would say Caleb's talk, he would say, was scarring for him because I took him to ride go-karts and then we went to Dairy Queen. And when I start talking about it in Dairy Queen, he starts telling me to be quiet. And
he can never look at a blizzard the same way ever again.
Yeah, he still has PTSD from that. So that goes again to different kids. Mm-hmm. You have to talk to them differently. But you want to start that conversation all along the way. And then give them age-appropriate information.
Right.
When a 5-year-old asks you where babies come from, you don't get out a manual and start showing them pictures.
Right.
You just, well, you were in mommy's tummy. And usually that's going to be enough. And they're going to walk away. But give them age-appropriate information when they ask for it.
That's why I don't remember a specific sex talk that me and mom had. But I always knew that door was open because we talked about it. We talked about it all, not all the time, but that was not a conversation that she was scared of. But I don't remember like one specific, like, let's sit down and hash this all out. But I think we talked about before the podcast, I was curious. So when I was little, I would ask lots of questions. So she started probably at an early age with me, I would guess.
And that's one of the things I always talk about too, is be shockproof. Mm-hmm. It was Sharon Washburn taught mom and I that when we were young parents. But, you know, when you would ask all those questions, Stacy could have dismissed you or could have just given you vague answers. But she had already decided she was going to be shockproof.
Right.
And if we want y'all to confide in us, we have to show that we're a safe place for you to confide in us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I won't get into detail on your podcast because it's PG. Family rating, but, you know, with your brothers, we had very specific talks as we drive to school, as they were hitting different markers in life. When they were littler, we talked about not looking at things you shouldn't look at and just ways that you, strategies of bouncing your eyes. Where I remember if a commercial would come on for Victoria's Secret and the boys were in the room, I'd look over and they'd be looking away from the TV screen.
Mm-hmm.
Just get talking real life with your kids, not removing them from the world, but how are you in the world in a way that you can live the way that God would like for you to live?
Right. And using teachable moments in the things that are around us. So whether that's watching a movie or watching a TV show, instead of, and I'm not saying you need to expose your kids to R-rated movies so that you can teach them things. But if you happen to be watching something and something comes up, use that as a moment to talk to your kid instead of just fast-forwarding or pretending like it didn't happen.
We would like to pause moments like that, see if we were watching a show, and say, you know, no, we don't talk that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sex is intended for marriage or things like that. And so not just exposing y'all, like you say, to R-rated content, but in the walk of life, there's plenty of instances for you to talk to your kids about sex. You don't have to just stop down all the time and make it a big, now we're going to have the talk.
Right.
You know, I think for y'all, that was at different ages. And I always say, base that on the maturity of your kids. There's not a set age that you go, well, that needs to take place. But I knew Colby, for example, had a lot of kids his age that had older brothers.
Right.
And I knew he was hearing things at a younger age. So I had to talk with him earlier than I did with Caleb. When they get in a locker room, you need to have a sex talk with your boys before they get in a locker room because they're going to hear things. And now, again, your child may be more immature, so you have to pare down what you're going to talk to them about. But I wanted y'all hearing it from us.
Right.
Not from your friends, not from their older brothers or sisters, and not from media. Mm-hmm. And that's where our kids are going to go if we leave that void.
And that's what I think is such a good point. Especially now, this generation, they have everything at their fingertips on their phone. If a student has a question and they're not getting the answer from home, they're going to go to Google or they're going to go to social media to look for that answer. And the answer they get there might not be the one that you want them to have as far as what lines up with your family values and what you want them to know about sex and about purity or about their body, any of that, relationships. And so that's why it's so important to have that conversation. So coming out of that, to kind of wrap up this section, let's talk about some practical tips for parents who are continuing to either have this sex conversation or maybe who haven't started and are going, oh man, now I've got to catch up.
So again, the best piece of advice I have is be shockproof. Mm-hmm. There was a time when we always took y'all, when y'all turned 16 or got ready to date, I took you on a date mm-hmm. and talked to you about how a guy should treat you, and your mom did that with the boys on how they should treat their girlfriends. And I remember one time at a dinner that it was mom and Colby. Colby was telling her something that happened to one of his friends and using some slang. And she was appalled that Colby was having this conversation, but she didn't show him.
Right.
Now she got home and she closed the door to our bedroom and goes, "You're not going to believe what he said." And then she could have that, oh no, moment.
Right.
But you want your kids to confide in you. They are going to be influenced by peers. They are going to Google things. But can they trust you enough to come and talk to you? You know, be shockproof. Create time with them. Again, that doesn't just happen. You don't have this talk just because you're their dad or their mom. What relationship do they have with you? And it may be that your relationship isn't great and you need to bring in an older brother, an older sister, or a mentor from church or from school. Rely on other resources. That's what I love about Teen Life. You're all about letting parents and students know they have resources they can rely on.
When I think modeling, you and mom did such a great job of modeling a healthy relationship, and y'all weren't afraid to talk about each other. And that sounds weird, I'm sure, for our audience, but not that y'all talked extensively about sex, but we knew that you loved each other and we knew that sex was a good thing because of how y'all talked about it. You didn't talk about it in a shameful way or in a way that would make me think this is something I don't want to look forward to. And so whether that's the parent relationship or if I'm talking to someone who's a single parent, making sure that you do have people in your kids' lives who can model positive relationship and model that for them so that they can see this is a good thing and not a shameful thing as well.
Well, I know shaming is a big deal in your research and things that mm-hmm. you've seen, even with your generation and right. the books that you read and things like that. Sex is a great thing. Mm-hmm. God created it to be beautiful. And we have to communicate that to our kids. And as you jokingly, you know, you were laughing even as you were talking about it, we wanted y'all to know that. That was a part of our relationship, and it's not something to be ashamed of. It is something to look forward to and celebrate.
For the tip this week, I want to talk about something that plays into both of these, the trend and the topic that we talked about, which is creating time to connect. Because these conversations happen, like you said, in relationship. And so being intentional, whether you are a parent or a mentor or someone in a teenager's life, creating specific time to connect with them. One way that this looks like for us, we still go to lunch every week. Right after this podcast, we're going to go to lunch. And that's something that we started when I was in high school and always meant so much to me but that was something you did intentionally.
Yes, it was something that was vital to me because I knew time was passing quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And again, didn't know you'd be living in the same town, didn't know we'd have this opportunity now. And so I wanted time with you that would be intentional investment with us building relationship. And so it went back to starting. I remember when you were in kindergarten on your birthday every year, if it was a school day, say, hey, what do you want for lunch today? Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring you lunch.
Yeah.
And so starting in kindergarten, I made that an effort just one day a year.
Mm-hmm.
When you got into high school and then you had the ability to leave campus, it was like, okay, I'm going to carve out one day a week and we're going to eat lunch together. Because if I don't block it, other things are going to take it away from me.
Right.
And if you're a priority, I've got to make it a priority.
Well, and you've joked before that I go because you buy my lunch. But
true.
If that's what gets your kid there, those times are invaluable to me. The conversations that we've had, the one-on-one time, just the fact that I know I'm important enough that you're going to set aside your work or you're going to set aside whatever you're doing because I'm what's most important means so much. And so whether it looks like lunch or if you're the one who drives your kids to school in the morning, use that time intentionally to let them know you're what's most important so that that relationship can continue.
And each kid's going to be different. And each parent's schedule is different.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a, hey, feel guilty because you don't have the flexibility to go to lunch with your child.
Right.
But Caleb, on game days, he played football. Game days, we'd go to Chick-fil-A in the morning and do breakfast on the way to school.
Mm-hmm.
And as he got older and could drive by himself, he still wanted me to do it. And I said, okay, but if I do it, that means we're going to talk. Okay. You know, and so use that to your advantage. But time is precious. Don't let it go by without investing that time in your relationship with your student.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.